Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Friday, June 12, 2015. It's just after 2:45 UTC while we're recording this. I'm Sam Minter, and once again, Yvonne Bo is with us. Hello, Yvonne.
Hello. Hello, everybody.
And, you know, we're going to have our main topics of the day. We're going to talk about WWDC. We're going to talk about the shakeups at Twitter. And, of course, we're going to do an election 2016 update before we do a lightning round. But first, Yvonne, how was your week?
It's been crazy. I've been, like, all over the place. I went to I had to do a presentation and meetings in Orlando. So Orlando's 200 miles. So I drove in the morning. And I drove back at night after I finished that, okay? And then, I don't know, it's just been work and other stuff, and it's been crazy. I mean, it's just between meetings here, going there, taking my son all over the place, parties, this. I mean, it's like every weekend is filled with a kid's party somewhere. It's like, good Lord.
We had a kid's party, too. We had a birthday party at a pool. It was...
Yeah. It's just... Oh, no, they're nice, but it's just like, my God, it's like one after the other after the other. It seems like it never stops. And so, I was telling Sam, you know, one of the things about how technology has changed is that in years past, for example, if we were going to do something like this, you know, number one, you know, so we've got much better technology in terms of being able to do this. By the way,
you mean record a podcast?
Record a podcast or use a computer. So, I figured out what was causing the panics, the kernel panics on my computer.
Okay, congratulations. Boy.
All right, and so it's been fixed. The computer has now been up nonstop for about a week without one. Okay, all right. So 6 days, to be precise. Okay, so that's a great thing. But the thing is that So tonight there's an NBA Finals game. So one of the great things about new technology is I have it up on a window, so I'm not missing the game. Now, before, even when we first started doing this, we could do that. Not enough bandwidth to do it or whatever, but we got that. But I decided to go a little bit old school. Uh-huh. I've been using a lot more my terminal to use, like, the Unix shell. Learned how to do stuff originally. But I didn't realize before that I could change the screen into a green screen. And I'm like, oh shit, come on. So I've got my Bash terminal green screen,
green on black.
Oh yeah. And you know what, it is so sweet, I must admit.
I admit right now I have the terminal open on my Mac, but it is black on white. I may have to try green on black.
Dude, you gotta go green screen, man. I'm like, you know what, I'm like looking at, oh man, this is so nice. You know, I mean, you know, when I learned my first real computer, I had an Atari 1200 XL that was not a green screen, but my first real computing system that I used was the airline travel reservation systems. Okay, back then it was like a 82, okay, 83 around there, that I got my hands on that CRS, and it was like a green screen like this. And they were all, I loved that system. It was awesome. I figured it out. You know, it was like the first thing, I figured it out so quickly. And just using the green screen, I love the green screen. Okay. I got to admit. So, and Unix later on the green screen. So,
you go. So, we got a couple minutes left in our intro segment before we get on to the real topics. And I just wanted to use this time to relay a couple stories from our own house related to appliances.
Oh boy, what happened with the appliances? So I saw you guys put in a new dishwasher.
So here's number one. Our dishwasher broke a while ago, and for a variety of reasons, we waited. We finally picked the dishwasher we wanted. We got it. So the first time they came to install the dishwasher. So first of all, we ordered delivery and install together. Okay.
From what store?
We actually ordered from Best Buy.
Okay.
Okay. So last week they brought the dishwasher, and the team is like, oh, sorry, we're delivery only. We don't do the installs.
They don't do the installs.
Even though we had specifically made sure we signed up to get both at the same time, somebody screwed something up. It was delivery only. So they leave the box in the middle of the dining room and leave. Then my wife like starts opening it. Because she's like, screw it, I'll put it in myself, right? But then she opens one corner of the box, and the thing's dented on the inside.
Oh boy.
And so she calls, she's like, it's on the back. It's probably just cosmetic. She calls me. I'm like, look, if the outside is dented, who the hell knows what happens?
Knows what's broken inside. That's yeah. Right.
And so she calls up Best Buy and they're like, oh, no problem. Sorry for the screw up. No problem. We'll send out a new one, you know, next week. So then we get the dishwasher coming in earlier this week. And this time it's delivery and install. They bring it to the dining room. They start getting ready to install. And they're like, I forget which piece it was. Valve or something underneath the sink was not compatible with the dishwasher that we'd
bought. Okay.
And so they're like, sorry, we can't help you. We don't have an adapter. We don't have a part. We don't do it. You're going to have to call a plumber. We don't know what to do with it. And so they left, once again, leaving the dishwasher in the middle of our damn dining room. And as I said, this time, my wife is like, screw this. I'm going to go to Lowe's and see what I can do. Because, like, in this family, I'm the one who's like, let's call the plumber, honey. The plumber can do this. Let's just call the plumber and pay the plumber and they'll take care of it. My wife is the one who's like, screw it. I'll go to Lowe's. I'll get the parts. I'll put the damn thing in. And so the bottom line is she bought a $20 part at Lowe's and spent 15 minutes installing it and then put the dishwasher in and she was done.
And it hasn't flooded your...
No, it hasn't flooded. Nothing's broken. It works perfectly.
Well, what I did, I have a handyman that usually I get to come over here. So I had to buy a new dishwasher because our old dishwasher had leaked a couple of times in the last... I'm going to guess it was about a year and a half ago or so. Or maybe less than 2 years. So I had the handyman, you know, which comes in regularly here on you know, here.
Yeah, yeah.
And so when they came in to deliver the dishwasher, they, you know, they promptly installed it and it was all done. You know, no problem with the whole thing with the
parts.
One
more appliance story, and I promise I'll make this somewhat short.
Yeah.
Of course, I always say that and I lie.
Well, yeah, we're not known for being concise.
But, you know, I've always, for the last few years, I've had one of these portable air conditioners that in the summer I put into my office.
Yes, yes.
And we had two of them. One of them was old and sucky and it filled up a water tank that you had to empty every 12 hours. And so this year and the other one that doesn't require that we're using in our bedroom right now. So I said this year, the first time the temperature hits 80 in my office, I'm ordering a window air conditioner to put in. Okay. So we ordered a window air conditioner to put in. And so we're putting the thing in I put the thing in the window and then my wife is like, okay, you have to like secure it. You have to screw it in or whatever. Cause it's not naturally going to fall, but like, unless you secure it, if somebody opens the damn window, it just falls right out. Right. And we're like, we don't want our son opening the window, the air conditioner falling out and him going after it, you know? I put it there, we start screwing it in and then I'm like, oh crap, it's not centered.
Okay.
Because, you know, I have issues with such things. So, like, I had the time lapse in my office, so you can see, it's long gone now, so sorry, guys, you missed it. But, I'm trying to adjust this thing to make it centered. And she actually had to take out some of the screws because she'd already screwed it in the spot we had it at first. So I'm trying to adjust this thing and I'm trying to manhandle it back and forth and the thing won't move, you know, because it's heavy and it's in there and it's like, and I'm getting more and more frustrated because I can push as hard as I can and then it'll jump like 2 inches. And so like getting it actually centered was not working and I was getting more and more frustrated and I was getting ready to explode. I was like, I'm ready to push the damn thing out the window, you know, and say, fuck this. And, and I'm like, honey, get me the hammer, you know, but, anyway, so we eventually, we had to undo all the screws. We had to sort of lift it back up. So it was barely hanging out. And of course my wife's here thinking Sam's freaking out. He's trying to get it centered. He's like, the thing's just going to fall out the window. It's just going to happen. Somehow we managed to get it in place. I got it centered to my own satisfaction, and it's all installed now. So all ends up well. But you know, you had this sort of vision of Sam freaking out, you know, bodily throwing himself against an air conditioner, trying to get it to move a quarter of an inch. in one direction, and then trying to push it back the other direction, and then trying to push it out the other direction, and on the verge of throwing the thing out the window. So, you know, hate that.
Well, thankfully, no dogs got flattened, nothing like that, animals killed, no air conditioners out the window, so we're all good.
You're
nice and cool.
Yeah, except I turned it off for the podcast to avoid the noise. So now I'm getting hot. But, you know.
Yeah, I was wondering how. I mean, I'm like, really? I don't hear a noise. I'm like, damn, it's really quiet. Here.
I just turned it on. Can you hear it?
No, I don't.
Oh, well, you know. Anyway, I'll turn it off anyway. But that's a story.
I heard a beep and you hit the button, but anyway.
Oh, yeah. Well, it beeps. Exciting.
Woohoo!
Anyway. That's the story for today. The appliances, the fun, goofy stuff. We took longer on it than we should have, as usual. We will be back after a break, and we'll start on Apple's WWDC event. For those of you who don't care about Apple, you know, fast forward a few minutes at a time, you'll get over it, and then we'll talk about Twitter, and then we'll talk about the 2016 presidential election, and we'll wrap it up with our lightning round. Back after this.
This is a break, oh yes, this is a break. This is a break, cause no one gave me any suggestions. I told you, I warned you. So this is a break, this is a wonderful break. A wonderful break, yes indeed, this is a break. This is a break in the middle of Curmudgeon's Corner. Yes, this is a break, yes. This is a break. Yes, this is a break. Yes, this is a break. Break. Yes, it is a break, and now the break is over.
Okay. Apple's Worldwide Developers Conference happened earlier this week. As usual, they made a bunch of announcements there. And, you know, I sort of, to relate it to the last story, the keynote speech was happening while they were delivering the second dishwasher. So I was paying more attention to the dishwasher at the time that happened.
Well, I can understand that.
So I saw bits and pieces of it. More than that, I was staying home because my wife was sick that day, my son was sick that day, and they were delivering the dishwasher.
Okay.
So good combination of events. So
sounds like an awesome combination.
Oh, yeah. So I was home. I watched part of the keynote, but I missed most of it. But there are all kinds of summaries out there of the events. For those of you who didn't look, I'm actually looking right now at MacRumors.com. They have a WWDC 2015 roundup. It's just at MacRumors.com/roundup/WWDC, and goes over everything that was announced, etc. And we'll sort of be using that as a little bit of a guideline for our discussion. At a very high level, they announced iOS 9. They announced macOS 10.11 El Capitan. They announced watchOS 2. And they announced Apple Music. Those are the high-level things that came out of it. So, you want to jump into any one of these, Yvonne?
Well, I don't know about jumping. I mean, it seems. Well, let me start first overall. Okay, I mean, everything was, and I Apple had said that they were doing this. Okay, mm-hmm. I think last year. Was that they were focusing right now more on polishing and improving what's out there and reducing bugs.
Well, that's mainly on the macOS side that they're saying that, and that is the big thing on El Capitan, and they've sort of done this TikTok thing on a number of places. But yes, the concentration of El Capitan is under the hood improvements, making things faster, making things more stable. There are a few new features, some improvements to Spotlight, which is the search function, some window management improvements, things for dealing with multiple apps. They have this stupid split screen thing I made fun of on Twitter, but that is like the full screen view, but for two apps. Okay, whatever. Like, I'm just not impressed by that stuff. But yeah, it seems like El Capitan is mainly a making things work better release as opposed to a new feature release.
I guess there are.
And honestly, it kind of needs it. There've been a lot of complaints about Yosemite stability and everything working smoothly.
Well, jeez, I mean, I had that ongoing complaint for a long time about the fact that junk mail filters weren't working on mail.app. I mean, they fixed it, okay? But it was like, I mean, it was horrifying, the fact that they weren't working for the period of time they weren't working. They did eventually release an OS update that did fix it.
And there's a big thing that is supposedly released in the next minor update that all kinds of people have had networking issues with.
Yes.
The networking dropping out at various points or forgetting devices attached to the network and things like that. All kinds of little things that you're like, I can't believe that's a... How could you not do that right? You know, how did you not notice that in the beta testing process or whatever?
And so one of those things that winds up with, you know, we making, you know, substantial changes and they've been adding feature and changing wholesale applications and other stuff.
And a lot of people pinpointed this specifically on the fact that Apple has essentially over the last few cycles made the expectation that there will be a new release every year.
Right.
And so they're under the gun for getting it out. They're under the gun for getting new features there. And so the argument has been made in a lot of places that they're letting quality suffer as a result of pushing to make that schedule and pushing to make sure.
They did. That, you know, I mean, I totally agree that they did.
And so if they take a pause year to just sort of clean things up, I'm happy with that. Like, I don't feel a burning need for any particular new features right now. I just want the damn thing to work as well as possible. And because Apple used to have the it just works reputation,
it still works well, but it's certainly not as polished as it was.
Yeah,
I was talking about these kernel panics that I was having, for example, which I finally got to the bottom of resolving it. I mean, it was the reality is that the fix. I wound up having to remove Norton antivirus from my computer, and that got rid of the problem.
Okay, there you go.
I'm still a little bit shocked that was the problem. I guess I'm not sure who to lay the blame more, whether it's on Apple, but I guess I got to lay really the blame on Symantec, because apparently their product sucks.
Yeah. In any case, they could use some time spent on polish and stability and performance.
So that's Mac OS 10.
So that's El Capitan.
What did you? I'm looking at some of the stuff, and maybe it's just. I mean, a lot of the stuff that I was reading is like it's more proactive.
So one of the things that people have made a big deal about is, you know, like you said, the more proactive Siri, which basically is a lot of people are saying this is, they're trying to, replicate Google Now, which has been doing a lot of this stuff before, where it can contextually figure out what it should be telling you based on what's in your calendar, what's in your email, whatever. Okay. I've heard a lot of people who really love that Google Now
Mac
stuff.
Mac OS 8 has been doing that stuff to a certain extent. iOS 8.
It's really taking that up a notch.
For example, I mean, one of the things that I always found like interesting was like if I went to my today screen, okay, where I get my notifications, that it would tell me if I'm somewhere, it's going to take you right now 15 minutes to get to this place, because it knew my locations, so it would figure out, it knows where my gym was, so it would tell me if there was traffic, or it knew how much time it would take to get home, or so forth, based on my schedule, because apparently I'm very repetitive, and I guess I can be tracked very easily.
It's useful stuff. People love their Google Now stuff. Like you said, there's been some of it in OS 8, iOS 8, but they're adding a whole lot more. Okay, and I this is one of those things that I've had a hard time getting excited about those features, but I understand how they're really nice for a lot of people.
But I'm like excited. I'm not jumping up and down about it.
Let's see what else. They added a news app.
Which I don't know if they'll be excited about that either.
You know, I don't know. Like, I could see this being useful for some people. I'll tell you, as a news junkie, I have a number of, you know, I've got Twitter going all the time. I've got Feedly for RSS feeds. I save stuff into Pocket, which I use to go back to stuff later. I've got this whole little workflow going on how I do news that's very sort of, you know, I recognize it's a news junkie kind of thing. Like, your normal person is going to want something that's much more passive, and maybe this will be good for those folks. I don't know. Or maybe it becomes another one of those Apple apps that people just shove to the last page of their folders
right,
and never look at
right,
it again.
Right. Exactly. Well, I got like apps. I mean, like, for example, I have certain news sources that I follow, and I have those for, you know, to keep me up to date. I mean, I don't know. Like, I have the BBC and CNBC and a couple of things like that, and NPR, and I don't know. I wasn't feeling like I was missing the news, but hey, I haven't seen it, so I, you know what? Well, it may be a nice way to get integrated news in a nice.
Maybe. They've also significantly upgraded the Notes app. I mean, this is another thing that, okay, there are all kinds of really robust notes-taking apps available for...
I'm using, like, OneNote from Microsoft, to be honest.
Yeah, look, there are dozens of really good applications for this kind of thing. But what Apple is doing is making the default built-in version... a lot more robust than it was. So there'll be a lot of people who would never think of buying a $5 app or even downloading a free app that would do notes for them separately, but will take advantage of it if it's built in, and okay, fine. But again, like, this isn't like a super exciting. They upgraded maps, added transit.
I thought they already had done.
They had it for a little while and they took it out because it was bad or something. I don't know. Like, a bunch of the other apps have transit too. And I don't know. Just within my own area here, I've tried a whole bunch of apps for transit navigation, and only a handful of, like, I'm out way in the suburbs of Seattle. So, like, only some of them actually have the buses that come all the way out here. Or have all of them, and none of them are like super great. I mean, several of them will do the job, but I don't think anybody's really cracked that to make it like everything you would want yet. And yeah, okay, it's great that Apple's adding it. I don't know. There's enough competition in that space. I'm not.
I think that's the point that I was saying about iOS 9. It's not, I don't expect it to be bad. I mean, I don't see a thing, but I wasn't like about the only thing that I saw, and this whole thing about split screen multitasking
for the iPad. And by the way, only for the newest iPad and iPads after that. If you don't have the iPad Retina 2 or whatever, you're not going to get this.
Retina 2.
Yep.
Air 2, you mean?
Air 2, sorry. The iPad Air 2.
Yes. Yeah, because the Retina 2, it's
got to be old. That's old, yeah. So anyway, the iPad Air 2.
So even
2.
my freaking iPad Air, which is a year ago.
Nope.
No good.
No good. You're not going to get this feature, let alone mine, which is older than that. But this is one of those things, and I poo-pooed the 2-app feature for the Mac a few minutes ago. I can see why there's some enticement for this on the iPad, but at the same time, the lack of this almost gives... It's one of the differences between the desktop and the tablet experience. And I am very wary of all the things that try to bring them together. either
Look,
bringing
I,
a bit
I
of...
I think that sometimes you do want two apps open at the same time. Okay?
I agree. Right. You were talking at the beginning of the show about watching your stupid game while we were recording this. I mean,
so it could be, you know, you want to do something like that. I don't think that it's something that, like you said, on a tablet, typically, I am not looking to be multitasking on multiple apps. I mean, it's just... I mean, having the Windows, I mean, I've seen it on some of the Android apps. It's like even most people say, Android, I only have one thing open because the screen is that small because it's a damn tablet.
Well, but at the
when
same
you start
time,
splitting it into little fucking things, then it becomes not that useful.
Right.
But sometimes.
And I acknowledge, by the way, that there have been situations on my iPad where because I couldn't put two things on at the same time, I'd pull out my phone and get one thing on my phone and one thing on my tablet. And this could potentially solve that problem. So I understand that. A lot's going to come down to implementation.
But now, reality is, if you recall, when our screens were smaller, okay, all right, we usually, every time that we were, 90% of the time we were working on something, we had it. You weren't looking at multiple windows. You had the whole thing fucking full screen.
Right.
And you know, I've got all kinds of that little moment for that other thing is then when you would reduce that window and then you'd put the other thing.
Well, even the difference, by the way, like right now I'm at my desktop. I've actually got a dual monitor set up with, you know, nice huge monitors with lots of real estate. I got lots of windows open. I got all kinds of things going on simultaneously. But even on my laptop that I use for work, I almost always have one thing covering the whole screen.
So and on my laptop
now,
work. So
I will say I almost never use Apple's full screen mode. However, because I like the context of the menu bar, and I like the context of the dock always being easily accessible. So like I will almost never go into actual full screen mode, but I will have only one app open.
I can understand that.
But you know,
bottom line. Yes. Bottom line, and there was a watchOS 2 update,
On iOS, just a couple of notions. The other things they're fixing the confusing shift key, not by changing the shift key itself, but actually by making the keyboard letters change from lowercase to capital depending on if you're in shift mode, which a lot of people have been confused about that a lot, and I admit myself I've screwed things up on that. And they're apparently giving you some more things that make it easier to do cut and paste a little bit easier. Low battery mode turns off a bunch of things if you want to extend out your battery, etc. Things like that. I think we covered most of the main ones. You were about to bring up watchOS, which adds a whole bunch of things to the capability of the watch, even though it's only been out, you know, a month or whatever.
Well, yeah, but expected, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, there's some nice things there, too. I mean, I admit to still not being super duper convinced on the watch, but, you know, the new capabilities make it a lot more capable than it was before.
You know, I'm still sure that at some point you're going to get one.
and finally,
probably I will, too. So, anyway.
And finally, Apple Music, which I don't know. I was not impressed by anything they showed with Apple Music at all.
I'm sure it's going to be popular. That's what I can say.
You think it's going to be any better than the Apple Radio or whatever?
It does appear to me that it's going to be a substantial improvement in the quality of the music that they are going. Yes, I will say that I've used a lot of Apple Music, and it's been a little bit annoying that it's very repetitive. There's not a lot of variety. The fact that you don't have like the curated stuff that they're promising, it actually is kind of annoying. It's very systematic. I do really think that it's in terms of the quality of the music, I think it's a substantial upgrade. It's at least that's what it seems like from my perspective. So, but you know, we'll see when the rubber hits the road.
I'll give it a shot. But as I told my daughter when she asked about this, you know, frankly, music is not something I care a lot about.
Yeah, I know you don't.
I listen to stuff sometimes, I'm not a music hat.
Music listener, and I do use the radio a lot, and I own thousands and thousands of songs. You know, but I will admit that I, it's, you know, the first iteration of radio on Apple, it is okay. It was useful to a certain extent, but it wasn't exciting with the music. I mean, I would pick certain of the genres or certain of the things. Honestly, in some, they seem to have had the same damn playlist for a whole fucking year. You know, I hear the same thing. I'm like, really? I was expecting more freshness, variety, and I think that that's what they're addressing with this change. Okay, all right. Let's put some. It seems like that's what the originality they're getting with the acquisition of Beats. You got a lot of people from the music industry. Why don't we put some people in front that actually are creating music that gets people to listen and be excited about? You know, I think it's a good concept. I want to see it in practice, how it works. But I honestly think that, you know, I'm looking forward to it, to try it. I will say that flat out, that I will be, right when it comes out, I'm gonna be giving it a shot. So I'll be able to give some better feedback.
Okay, well, let's take a break. We're done with Apple. So any of you folks who hate Apple and have been fast forwarding through this segment, you wouldn't hear me saying this. So I don't know why I'm mentioning it, but we will be talking about non-Apple stuff.
They could be, you know, going real fast. I don't know.
Maybe, you know. In previous times, in deference to the people who don't like Apple news, we've put the Apple stuff at the end. We put it at the beginning this time. Makes it a little harder. Oh, well, sorry.
Sorry.
Anyway, we'll be back after this, and we'll talk a little bit about Twitter.
Information.
Okay, here we go. Twitter.
Tweet. So the CEO resigned.
Yeah. He's been under some pressure for a while.
But the thing is that I'm shocked still that he resigned right now when he resigned.
Okay. Why?
Because look, the results have been out. You know, they had announced financials. When the heck was it? I think it was less than a month ago.
It was a few weeks
ago, if I remember correctly. So, I think it was. It seemed like premature to do it like when they did it. I guess. I would have thought for sure that they would have had more time to implement the plan of what they were trying to accomplish. I know they were doing changes to the application, doing some more marketing, adding some more ads, doing some other stuff. I think that there was just quite a lot of impatience, to be honest with you.
Well, I don't know, and of course, there's, you know, was he actually fired? Did he resign voluntarily? Blah 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 blah. Who cares?
I think obviously it was under duress.
Yeah, although they deny that, but they always deny that. Whatever.
Yeah, they always deny it.
So look,
Carly Fiorina, you know, resigned, you know, because she was like bored.
Yeah, that's it. Look, here's the fundamental disconnect here, and I think we've talked a little bit about this before. Apparently, the expectations for Twitter on Wall Street and elsewhere have been, you know, this is going to grow and it's going to be Facebook size.
I think the problem is, I got to be honest with you, I think Twitter went public too early.
I think they maybe shouldn't have gone public at all.
No, I think eventually, obviously, you want to cash out, you want to do it, but I think they went public too early. I don't think they had a fully baked strategy of how they were going to monetize what they were doing. And for all the faults that you can say about Mr. Zuckerberg being a jackass or whatever, so forth and so on, I tell you what, he knows what the fuck he's doing. Okay, I'm going to say that. Okay, on how to monetize his shit. Okay, all right, at Facebook.
Well, here's
he doesn't even mobile or whatever.
But here's but, the, with Twitter specifically, though, there's also the, you know, maybe the end game here, if they even if they're fully successful with everything here, is not be of a size that's going to rival Facebook.
It probably isn't. You know, it's a different thing.
It's a different thing with a more specialized audience. The advantages of Twitter right now are. The audience within Twitter is a different kind of audience. It's much more influential, perhaps. They're much more directly engaged. Now, Twitter has famously a very hard learning curve. To get value out of it, you really have to engage with it. You have to spend some time, you know, learning the ropes and finding the right people to follow. And part of what they've been trying to do is make that easier for people. But in the end, it may well just be that Twitter's natural size is significantly smaller than Facebook's, and even when you add the monetization, maybe that's
Our friend, Rebecca asked, I can't remember how long it was, said, "Where do you get your news?" Asked me, Twitter. What's more useful? I think it was something, either one of those, Twitter or Facebook, and I was like, flat out, geez, Twitter,
right?
Okay. I mean, to me, Facebook is entertainment. Twitter is information. Okay?
Okay. Now, and that highly depends on how you use Twitter, by the way. There are people who use it in opposite.
I do agree.
I would agree with you. I would not even say Facebook's entertainment for me. You know, the only value of Facebook to me is when I get news updates from people I actually care about their own personal lives.
But that's my point. That's all entertainment. You find out what your friends, you know, are doing or whatever. But entertainment.
Everything else on Facebook is noise.
Right. You know? Oh, my God. Jesus. And the other stuff is exactly. It's either entertainment or, oh, my God, garbage.
Right.
I mean, a lot of garbage.
Meanwhile, Twitter. Now, I admit, you know, I follow what, a couple thousand people now? I don't know.
Really? A couple of thousand?
As of this moment, 1,932.
Wow. I follow a total of 96.
Yeah. And so, like, you know, my Twitter feed, I get. During the daytime in the United States, new tweets come in every couple of seconds.
Every couple of seconds? Like, geez, I was thinking even faster than that.
Yeah, here
that
we go. Tweet.
Tweet. It's got to be like a frickin' like river of tweets.
Anyway, the point is it's actually going a little slower right now. I've only had two since I said that. Look. Yes, it is a river, and it's one that I dip into and I scan through, and I follow a lot of people that, you know, if I was to look at them individually and say, do I want to hear everything this person says? The answer would be clearly no. However, are they useful as part of that mix where at any given moment I can look in and sort of see, well, what's going on right now? They're interesting to have in that mix. And, you know, I eliminate people sometimes and I add people sometimes. And, you know, part of the game is like, if there's an ongoing news event like that, as an example, we were talking about the Boston bomber verdict a couple weeks ago. When the Boston bombing happened, within, you know, that evening when that was going on, I'd probably followed 50 people in Boston. To follow the updates from a local point of view as the event was happening. Now, over time, I've probably dropped most of those people, you know, but it gives you one of its big advantages for a news junkie is that when something is happening, you can dive in and get information from people who are actually directly involved in the events in near real time. And there's all sorts of questions about, you know, accuracy and do you believe everything you hear and blah, 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 blah. But you have to, you
well,
take
you're
that.
You're getting like the raw data.
You're getting
really
the raw data and you have to know how to interpret that. And you have to realize that, yes, when you're following an ongoing event like that, you know, probably 50, 60, 70% of what you see will turn out to not be validated by the facts after it's over. But it gives you that raw view that right now you can't get anywhere else. And it lets you do the communication. I mean, you had a Twitter exchange with Glenn Greenwald during the Snowden investigations.
Yes, I did.
You know, a couple weeks ago, I saw an error in a Washington Post article, and I tweeted the journalist, and he's like, oh my God, you're right, I'll fix it. And it was fixed in the Washington Post a few minutes later. You know, and this is the kind
I had Jim Cramer. I said about what the heck. We're talking about a subject and I said something and he retweeted that to everybody because he thought that my insight was pretty good, for example.
Yeah. Well, and like this is one of the key advantages to Twitter is this kind of engagement that sort of, you know, just the random person off the street can engage the person who wrote the news article they're looking at and engage in a conversation with them. It enables communication between people who are into public view and their audiences in a way that Facebook really does not. I mean, Facebook tries, but it's not as good.
Putting on Facebook,
but you're
what
not
they are
necessarily
putting on Facebook now is a lot of like infotainment.
Mm-hmm.
Which I will say that probably for the mass audience of Facebook really appeals. Okay, even I occasionally click on some of the stuff, especially some of the more outrageous stuff. Okay,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, sometimes. Oh, look, Miley Cyrus said I didn't realize. Like, what was the story? They said that apparently she told her mom that she was bisexual when she was 16. I don't know. I was like, really?
Oh, okay.
Okay. So I don't know. So I clicked on the fucking story. Okay, I'll admit it. Okay. All right. Okay, you know, what do you want me to tell you? But you know, it's like that's the kind of stuff that they put on like right now. Sometimes, you know,
dependent on what your friends are sharing and stuff like that too.
No, these are the trending.
No, I know the trending story. You know? I'm saying the overall picture of what you see on Facebook is highly influenced by who your friends are. But yes, there is stuff that Facebook pushes.
So like
as well.
The trending, like Boeing 787 Dreamliner, video shows plane performing steep takeoff ahead of Paris Air Show. There was a story about Bob Costas, like saying something about Caitlyn Jenner.
Okay.
But you see, this kind of stuff.
Let me get back to
an Australian couple says that they will divorce if government allows gay couples.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, let's get back to Twitter for a second. The one big fear I have about Twitter
is
that all of the pressure to monetize and get really big.
It's gonna wreck it. Yeah, exactly.
It's going to wreck
totally
it because they are going to if Twitter tries to be Facebook, if Twitter's trying to do everything to get to that scale, either in users or in money, all they're going to do is they're going to try all this shit that doesn't actually work to get to scale or to make all that money, but does work to ruin the experience of the people who use it heavily and love it today. And the key that they've got to, I think if Twitter really wants to maximize its potential for the future, they can't be on this trajectory of trying to have everybody in the world on Twitter like everybody on the world is on Facebook. They have to recognize, and I think Matthew Iglesias put out an article of this sort, and a couple other people have said things too, so this is not original thought by me, but you know, they need to concentrate on the fact that they have a very specific type of user base right now. And before they go trying to do everything else, they should guard that core user base as the crown jewels. They should say, how can we make life better for the people who right now really love and make the maximum use out of Twitter? And protect that experience. So, okay, if you add some things along the side to make yourself more valuable for new users and make it easier for new users to get on, fine. But don't do anything that screws it up for your core audience today, or you're just going to end up imploding.
Yeah.
I mean, some companies have somehow managed that kind of transition where they piss off all their early users and make up for it by gaining new ones, but it's not a smart way to go.
Look at CNN.
Oh, God.
You know,
Do I have to?
Yeah. I mean, but think about it. That's exactly what they did. You just described CNN to a T. They took everybody that made them what the hell they made and just fucking pissed them off and decided to go off in another direction. It's a bad strategy.
And specifically what we're talking about is they used to, in the first few years of CNN, the first decade plus. They were really, I mean, there were arguments that they weren't the best journalists in the world, but they were trying to be a hard news organization.
They were a hard news organization.
And you know, their coverage of the first Gulf War, all kinds of other things there, they really were trying to uphold, you know, place themselves as real journalists, let's say. And then, you know, sometime, you know, soon after the first decade ended...
It was after like the end of the Gulf War, and the ratings started going down because they had monster ratings, obviously, over
during
the Gulf
War. Right.
Right. And then they went crashing down. And so,
as opposed to people saying, well, of course they'll go down.
So the day that I remember, this is like a while after it finished, I remember that I wake up. And I'm going to watch, they had this show at 10 a.m. called The International Hour, covering international news, very thorough, very professionally produced show. I'm going to sit down and have a bagel and drink my coffee, which I usually would do at that time since I didn't have class until late. I turn it on, and they had Christie Brinkley, House of Style.
Yeah.
Replacing it.
Now, let me ask you the question.
And I almost vomited.
Let me ask you the question, though. We all know from... A news junkie perspective, CNN has been downhill ever since that moment that you mentioned. Did it work at all from a financial perspective?
No, it didn't. Not at all. And it's my point about Twitter. I think that by trying to do this, they may just destroy what they built. Instead of like they're trying to go, it's like, look, you have something that is built to a certain size and it works to a certain size and is profitable to a certain size. If you try to like create it a mass market, you're going to lose that core audience, which is a profitable audience. So, you know, it's just not a good idea. It's not a good idea.
Yeah. And of course, if they did go that direction, if they went and sort of concentrated on that core audience, you know, a couple of people have pointed out, and I forget the names, I'm sorry, that this would probably involve, you know, downsizing a bit to be able to live off of the income stream from that core audience rather than sort of banking on huge growth in audience in the future. But that might be the smart thing to do.
It may be. You know, it may be.
But it seems like that's not what they feel like they want. And they're going to ruin it. They've already made some changes that are bad. You know, the other thing, by the way, that people have tied into this as well as a possible suggestion is a couple years ago, Twitter made the decision to basically... In the early days of Twitter, they'd opened up their APIs and let a lot of people build on top of their platform.
Right, and then, yeah.
And they started shutting that down. I mean, I'm still using a Twitter app that's not by Twitter right now. I use Tweetbot. I love it. But they started having very hostile policies towards people actually building creative things on top of them. They could move back in that direction.
It may well be.
And maybe, you know, you have to answer the monetization question. Maybe there's, you know, fees or revenue sharing or something associated with building on top of them. But a lot of very interesting things were happening with people building custom stuff on top of Twitter to let different people interact with Twitter in different ways, depending on their needs and interests and wants. And Twitter basically shut all that stuff down because it was counter to their particular monetization strategy they had at the time. And that's something else they could explore again. But I'm afraid Twitter's not going to go in any of these directions.
Okay.
Anyway, right. Enough of that. Well, let's take another break. We'll talk about election 2016 after this. Back after this. Hey, you listeners. We know you have thoughts about the stuff we say here on Curmudgeon's Corner. You probably think we're completely wrong about many things. Or perhaps you want to tell us that we're geniuses. That's always great. Or perhaps you just want to suggest a topic for us to talk about. All of these things are wonderful. We love to hear from you. So talk to us. If you prefer email, just email Sam. That's me, your prime curmudgeon, at abulsme@abulsme.com. That's spelled A-B-U-L-S-M-E. Or tweet at us. I'm at abulsme, and Yvonne is at iambo. That's I-M-B-O-U. And while we may not do it every time, don't be surprised if we respond to you right here on the show during an upcoming episode. Thanks, everybody. We'll be looking for your email and tweets, so get right on that. And we're back. So, election 2016.
Election 2016.
You know, actually, before we talk about the presidential race, since we neglected to mention it last week, I can't, if we're going to talk politics, we can't do it without at least mentioning in passing Dennis Hastert.
Yes.
So, Dennis Hastert has been indicted, right? Indicted?
Yes.
Based on structuring financial transactions to avoid
the $10,000 cash reporting limit.
Yeah, so basically,
and then lying about
if you withdraw more than $10,000 in cash, you have to report it. And so he apparently was doing this. He was withdrawing $50,000 at a time. And after the first couple of times, he was asked, okay, you got to explain this, blah, blah, blah. And so then he started withdrawing it, you know, $9,990 at a time.
Oh, he was doing like $8,000 a pop. Yeah. $9,000 a pop, whatever. Yeah.
And so, and then, of course, so they're indicting him on this because not only was he doing that, and it was, but then when the FBI asked him about it, he's like, yeah, I'm doing this just because I don't trust banks.
Yes, that's what he said.
It was like, really? And of course, meanwhile, by the time the FBI asked him this, they knew that, in fact,
he had been paying someone.
He had been paying off some guy. And when this first came out, it was, unspecified accusations from years ago. As it has come out since then, it looks fairly certain that what was going off was he was paying off somebody to not talk about the fact that when he was a coach in high school, he abused some kid that was one of his students.
Yes.
And apparently there's at least one other person whose sister came out and said actually her brother, who's now deceased, was also abused by him. So it's not even, apparently there's more than one, let's say. And I guess we're past the statute of limitations for whatever abuse happened.
Is it really?
That's okay. What I heard, which is why, okay, like, this is all about the financial transactions, not about the abuse.
Okay.
And apparently, you know, hey, whoever he was paying off apparently thought that was just a fine deal with him. You know, he would, he wasn't going to take it to the police. He was going to take the $3 million or whatever.
Yes.
So, I mean, I guess that's a legitimate choice. I mean, and they're not prosecuting the guy who was extorting him.
Well, I guess, right. I mean, the question is whether he's getting paid off or it was blackmail or I don't know.
Right. And that's actually unclear. Like, what did he actually go to him with a threat that said, you know, if you don't pay me, I will go public with this? Or did Dennis Hastert on his own go to the guy and say, hey, I know you got dirt on me. Please don't say anything. Here you go. Here's a wad of cash.
Or he was concerned enough, or maybe he approached him.
Yeah,
and he, you know, maybe he approached him and said, hey, I know you, you fucking bastard. You were doing all of this, blah, blah, blah. And then he offered to pay off. Who knows?
Yeah,
you know?
And that part, there have been no charges or anything along those lines related to he's an abuser. There have been no charges related to extortion, nothing along those lines. the charge in question is the withdrawing money to avoid the limit and lying to the FBI.
Right.
And so this is another one of those things where apparently, you know, hey, if he had just written the guy a check.
Yep.
There'd be no crime
no
here.
No problem.
No problem.
So,
it'd be done.
So which then begs the answer. He took the money out of his own account.
Yeah.
So why the fuck was he doing it that way? He's an idiot.
Yeah. And you know, someone else pointed out that you could also have eliminated any issues of extortion or whatever as well. If you could have gone through a lawyer and actually written up an agreement that said, this is a, you know, I am paying you for damages that I did, you know, basically an out of court settlement saying, this is compensation for damage I did you 20 years ago. I'm sorry. Here's the money. And made it completely above board.
So basically, Hastert got himself into trouble.
And by the way, all of this stuff was long after this guy's political career was done. I guess he's still, he was practicing law, he was a lobbyist, whatever. So there was still stuff going on. But, I mean, come on.
Well, still would have been, was quite embarrassing, I guess, if it came out, which it would have been. As it has been.
But, you know, if he'd done this quietly through a lawyer and paid him properly, it probably wouldn't have come out.
Well, I guess, you know, he wasn't really clearly thinking.
And of course, a number of people have pointed out this means that all three speakers of the House that were involved in impeaching Bill Clinton for lying about the Monica Lewinsky affair
have been indicted.
Well, not necessarily have been indicted, but have had sexual scandals of their own. Of one sort or another. Now, frankly, so Hastert abusing teenage boys is probably worse than any of the others by a significant amount.
What was the other one? We had Gingrich
who had, you know, a history of multiple affairs and leaving his wives while they had cancer for a new woman.
So always like very that. Always very nice to leave. Yeah,
and by the way, I said wives. He did that twice.
Right, he did that twice.
And then we had Livingston was in between. He didn't actually get to be Speaker of the House. He was about to be Speaker of the House, but then resigned when it became. Or was he Speaker of the House for a few minutes? Anyway, it was very short. If he was, in any case, he resigned because he also had affairs and felt that it was a conflict of interest to be impeaching Bill Clinton while he himself had that history. And it's like, come on, guys.
You know, men are not very good at keeping their dick in their pants. I get it. Okay, all right. You know, I'm not gonna argue that. But Jesus Christ, good Lord, couldn't you at least? I mean, really? I mean, Jesus, all of you, what a bunch of fucking, my God, you know? I mean, good Lord.
And meanwhile, of course, people have also pointed out extreme hypocrisy on these issues where, you know, apparently, you know, he was having gay sex with a teenager on his team. But he was, of course, promoting all kinds of anti-gay legislation during his time in office. Apparently these very money laundering laws that he was caught for, he advocated for. And had given speeches as recently a few years ago about the importance of these kinds of laws and about additional sweet irony
to the fact that you get nailed for a law that you yourself helped pass.
Well, I'm not sure if he passed the actual law.
If he helped, say he voted for it or whatever, or advocated for it or something.
Right, right.
Don't you think that's quite a sweet irony to get nailed by a law that you helped pass?
And he was also advocating laws to help victims of sexual abuse. Now, okay, maybe that's a regret kind of thing. Maybe he, you know, he made mistakes when he was younger and he came to regret it heavily, and maybe that's why he was paying. He could be paying this guy off not because he was threatened, but just out of guilt, and maybe he's advocating. So there, who knows? But anyway, enough about Hastert. That was not supposed to be our topic, and we just spent 12 minutes or 9 minutes on it or whatever. Election 2016. So we've got...
Hastert's not running for president?
Well, maybe now he can.
Well, yeah, what the hell, you know? I guess it's, you know, part of the requirements. Okay.
So we got a couple. We had Christie... who still theoretically is one of the people that people keep talking about, but he had more accusations related to this Bridgegate stuff come out. He had a number of polls talking about how the people in New Jersey think he'd be an awful president. This is, of course, the state he's a governor of. We had his wife actually give an interview. This was a few weeks old now, but she said something like, yeah, the enthusiasm for this doesn't seem to be there quite like it was last year. It's like, really? So, officially, he still has not made a decision, but I'm thinking he might be one. I'm thinking the odds of him actually deciding to jump in at this point are... maybe 30% or less, even. Like, the rational thing for him has to be to realize his moment has passed and say, nah, I'm not doing this.
Maybe next time.
But, you know, you say that, but then you got all these other people who don't have a shot in hell running.
Yeah. But at least to let some of this crap blow over. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like,
I mean, I don't think Christie is like Fiorina. He doesn't want to be out there in Santorum. He doesn't want to be out there with 1-2%.
Right.
I mean, what the fuck's the point? I mean, you might as well not do it. You know? So, yeah. So, I'm pretty sure he's... I think he's not going to go in. That's my thought.
Yeah, I think he's not running. Yeah.
So what about this whole thing about Jeb Bush's campaign being in a mess of trouble?
Oh, one other thing I wanted to mention before we get to Jeb Bush.
Yes.
Lindsey Graham.
Yep.
Also making some waves this week because, you know, he's running and all the articles are about how he's single. And if he became president, he'd be the only the third president ever elected who was single. And one of those two previously got married while he was president.
You know,
so he's getting a lot of flack for this.
Would that be a really good pickup line? You're single.
I'm president. Wasn't there a movie about that?
Yes.
Dave? Was it Dave?
No, it's the other one.
Dave was the one that was the lookalike.
No, it was the American president. The American president.
Yeah, that's it. Anyway.
That'd be a good pickup line.
I'm now, like, of course, the other persistent rumor with any person of that age who is single is that he's really gay.
I don't know. I think at this age, I think that was an old thing. I don't think that people think that anymore.
I think the right answer is, of course, well, so what? Except he's running as a Republican now. And that's the
only, I mean, I would agree the so what part, but
and that's the only place where this, like, if it was a Democrat,
right.
If he was a Democrat and he was,
it may work.
Yeah. It'd be like, yeah, I'm gay. But yeah. the experience right now is a lot more closeted Republicans at this point. Snip, snip. People have also said it made fun specifically of his answer that, well, who would be first lady? And he said, maybe I'll have a rotating first lady. And I think that's kind of cool, you know?
Well, that would be, but, you know, yeah, I don't know if that's going to happen.
Yeah. And well, like you don't think Lindsey Graham's going to be our next president?
Nope.
Yeah,
and it's increasingly looking like, I'm sorry to tell you, that Mr. Jeb Bush may not be either.
Yeah, well, so Okay, moving on for Lindsey Graham. I don't think he has a shot. I think the criticism is against him for being single are just stupid and unfair. And you know, people talking about him being gay also, and I apologize because I kind of brought it up, but also stupid and unfair and none of anybody's business but his. Yeah, okay, Jeb Bush.
Yep.
He is officially going to enter the race sometime
the
next 15th, week.
Right.
15th, 16th.
Announcement. Maybe I should go to the announcement.
There you go. You should do
you
that.
Know, I actually, you got to remind me that. I'll go to take a recorder. I'll try to see if I could go see this damn announcement.
Interview some people.
Yeah.
He's switched out his campaign manager. Obviously, a few weeks ago, we were talking about his stupid handling of the questions about the Iraq war.
Yes.
The way he's been handling what his brother's involvement would be is also not particularly bright because he's not finessing the issue. I mean, on the one hand, you got to respect him. When he's asked about who would you ask for advice about foreign policy, he's honest and he says, my brother. But that's not what a lot of people want to hear, you know? And generally speaking, you know, he hasn't been raising as much money as he'd hoped. It looks like he's going to miss the deadline. Basically the strategy here, and you know, this was reported all over the place, was he was going to come in here and he would blow everybody out of the water with fundraising. He would sort of clear the field. Everybody would, people would be scared off running because it would be so clear that Bush was ahead of everybody else. I'm trying to forget, one of the smaller Republican candidates actually explicitly said, when asked, you know, why was he running, blah, blah, blah. One of the things he said was, well, I figured Jeb Bush was going to clear the field, but he really hasn't.
Nah.
And so I think Kasich or somebody, maybe, I don't know. I forget. But in any case, another commentator, I wish I could remember the name, said, look, the only person who got out because of Jeb Bush was Romney. You know, he hasn't scared anybody else away. You know, we've got a field of freaking 20 of these guys, for God's sake, several of which are rivaling.
Yeah, nobody. I mean, nobody is scared to jump into this election. Are you freaking kidding me? I mean, it's like a freaking we're going to need buses to carry all these jokers around.
Well, and look, there are a whole lot right polling at roughly the same level as Jeb. I mean, Jeb's still in the top tier.
But that tier is quite ample.
Well, no, the top tier is probably maybe 3 or 4.
It's still, I mean, compared, it's 3 or 4. I mean, you got, and the other side, you got Hillary and everybody else.
Right.
I mean, Jeb is in 3 or 4, and let's face it, the guys behind him are not that far behind.
Well, and like I said, it's follow the money here, and Jeb Bush has been raising the most money so far, but he's kind of sputtering and he's not meeting expectations.
Exactly.
And he's making mistakes and he's not doing super great in a poll and he's not clearing the field. So what you're going to start seeing is the money starting to flow to some of these other guys.
Right.
I've said for a few weeks in a row now, I still think if you put percentage odds on all of the candidates, Jeb Bush's percentage is still higher than everybody else, but not by much. It's not like he's got a 40% chance and everybody else has a 10% chance. It's more like, you know, he's got a 23% chance and the other guy's got a 22% chance, you know? He is not where he wanted to be at this point by any stretch of the imagination. The same person who mentioned that the only person who cleared out of the field was Romney also mentioned, and I should look up that tweet, also mentioned that, hey, you know, if Romney decided to change his mind, he'd probably be at the top of the polls again.
Oh.
And I think that's probably true. I mean, because we've got such a split field. You know, if Romney did change his mind, I think he'd be doing quite well in this field. It would be even more chaos, of course, and I don't think he's going to do it, but come on.
That would be awesome, though.
Oh, by the way, it was Michael B. Doherty who tweeted this. His exact tweet was, only person Jeb Bush seems to have scared off is Romney. If Romney did a take backseat and declared, he'd be leading polls right. And I think he nailed that. I mean,
I think he's right. I mean, wouldn't it be awesome if Rumney jumped back in? That would be crazy. It'd be fantastic.
It would be fantastic. That would just be, you know.
I want Jeb to announce next week and then have Romney jump in. Like about a month or two later.
Yeah. I think Romney's in the same kind of, you know, he dipped his toes in the water and basically Jeb Bush made a lot of noise and started doing negative things. And he's like, okay, never mind. I'm out. But, you know, if we get to, let's say, December, and the Republican field is still completely fragmented, then Romney's going to think about it some more. And if we get through Iowa and New Hampshire, I mean, it's a little late at that point, but like, you know, okay, Iowa, Jeb's not going to win New Hampshire. Probably whoever, no, sorry, not New Hampshire, Iowa. Jeb's not going to win Iowa. Jeb's going to do fairly poorly in Iowa. Iowa's probably either going to go to Walker because he's right nearby, or it's going to go to you know, Huckabee or somebody. You know, Iowa's got a history in recent things of not picking the winner. Remember, last time around, it was, you know, Santorum or Paul, depending on how you counted, ended up winning Iowa at the end of the
Right. And it was irrelevant. Anyway.
And it was irrelevant because, and then, you know, New Hampshire, you could easily see something else happening in New Hampshire too. And, you know, you have a split decision. You have no clear winner after the first 3 to 4 contests, then somebody like Romney could very well say, okay, I'm going to step in here. I don't think that's going to play it out. I think that what we're going to see is the usual sort of thing where the first few states get somebody who's fairly clearly ahead, and then we start having the big multi-state days like Super Tuesday. The calendar's still like, states keep like moving around their primaries and stuff and passing laws, so like the calendar won't be fully set until late in the year. But you're going to have these big multi-state days, and then you're going to come out of them, and somebody's going to have such a clear lead, it's going to be almost impossible to catch up unless you have a meltdown. And I think that's probably how it's going to play out.
Meltdown, Romney.
Is it too early to start talking about brokered conventions?
Yeah, we're still a little bit too early. But Romney!
Yeah, because, you know, this is, of course,
I'm going to start my Romney freaking, like, draft Romney campaign.
Every cycle, everybody, especially, like, news junkies like us and the entire news media, like, prays for a brokered convention. Because that would be the news. But it's never going to. It doesn't happen. It's not going to happen.
When I looked, no, I guess there's nothing recent to like. I went and I did a Google search. It's like, come on. Is there anybody like going and like saying about draft Romney? Nah, not really. Damn.
Anyway, we'll all these things will play out.
Actually, there is a Facebook page, Draft Romney.
There you go.
There it is. Draft Romney is an independent, we still believe. You know, there it is. It's an independent grassroots movement dedicated to promoting Mitt Romney for president in 2016. It's got 3,531 likes. Shit, I'm going to like it.
There you go. I don't know which one of these guys is going to come out on top at this point, but it looks more and more and more like we're going to have a fun ride to get there.
I think we could promote this page, get some more people, you know. Yeah, I could invite people to like. God. There you go. Come on. You don't think? Here, I'm liked. There you go. Beautiful. I think I would see if that shows up in my timeline. People think I went insane.
Okay. I think we've talked about enough about the presidential election at this point.
Make a short lightning round today, you know.
Okay, 10-minute lightning round.
Yes.
We'll, instead of 15. We'll be back after this with our lightning round. This is Sam here with an opportunity for you. Yes, you heard me right, an opportunity. For you loyal listeners of Curmudgeon's Corner, you know, every once in a while, Yvonne can't make a show. And I do a solo show, which, you know, I think I do okay. But, you know, it's always interesting to have a second person to bounce off. And just in general, sometimes it's good to hear another voice. If you, yes, you, have some things to say about the kinds of things we usually talk about on Curmudgeon's Corner, you know, politics, current events, news, tech, then drop me a line at abelsmay@abelsmay.com letting me know. And hey, I'll keep you in mind and maybe ask if you can join us sometime, either on a regular show with Yvonne if it's something particularly pressing that you maybe have an expertise on, or just, you know, hey, an opportunity to co-host when Yvonne is out. Who knows? Now, I am not guaranteeing that if you send me an email, you'll definitely get on the show, but let me know if you're interested, and I'll keep you in mind. Thanks, and now, back to the show. Okay, we're back. It's time for our lightning round. 2-minute segments.
I'm still kind of excited about the whole draft Romney thing, but anyway.
Excited about Romney?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, that's the whole thing. Like, the us included... the media as a whole, the one thing you got to remember, and I repeat this every other week or so, the media is not rooting for Republicans. The media is not rooting for Democrats. And that includes Fox News and MSNBC and all of them. What the media wants is a close horse race.
Oh, yeah.
They want it to be close. They want it to be dramatic. And so, you know, anything they can do to, like, you know,
drama.
You are not going to see, like, a year of, yeah, the polls are pretty clear, Hillary's going to win.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Like, we don't even have to pay attention because this is done, you know. No, you're not going to see that. And you're not going to see, you know, that in the primary process either. Whoever is in the lead is going to get slammed from all sides to try to tear them down and get them out of the lead. Whoever's in second or third place, there are going to be all kinds of articles about how they're surging and how they've got momentum and they're closing the gap and all of this kind of stuff. And, you know, look, calm down. You know, if you actually want to, you know, look at the numbers, ignore the pundits. If you want to understand what's sort of really going on, and here I'll plug election2016.abelsmay.com for my own poll analysis. It's way too soon for anything like that to be predictive, but it tells you where things are right now. Well, anyway.
We can predict chaos. Anyway.
Anyway, right. Lightning round time. I will start this time. I watched a movie. I watched WALL-E, the Pixar movie from 2008. Seen WALL-E. Right?
It's a great movie.
It's a great movie. It's nice. It is, especially, you know, they've got that the like almost 30-minute segment at the beginning where there's no talking, no nothing.
Yes.
Stuff. It's awesome. Awesome. It's wonderful. Awesome. It makes you cry at the end. Yeah. All kinds of stuff.
My son loves that movie. I watch it with. It's his favorite movie. I watch it with him all the time, and yeah. I like watching it every time he watches it. I basically wind up watching it with him because I like it very much.
And of course, I've seen it before, but I took the time and I watched the whole thing again. I had fun. It's a good movie. Go out and watch it. You know, most Pixar movies are great.
Yes.
I particularly like this one. And by the way, there's a new one coming out in a few days.
Yes.
Nice. So I'm like next week, I think. So I'm like, I'm asking my family, anybody want to go see it? Anyone going to want to go see it? Because I want to see the damn Pixar movie. You're good.
Yes.
Okay. That's it for me. I only took 1 minute. Your turn.
Oh, God. Bush on Russia. What did Bush say about Russia?
Oh, you know, we did the election already. He just went a tour of Europe.
Which Bush?
Jeb.
Oh, he probably said something moronic. Okay, yeah,
no,
all right.
He went and he talked about Putin and he talked about, he's making a European tour right now.
I looked him in the eye.
That was the other Bush.
Oh, that was the other one? Okay, all right.
Yeah, I have nothing else to say that. We did the election already.
Okay. The federal data breach.
Yes.
Honestly, are you really surprised? We were talking about how shitty, like, you know, federal government, like, especially the general IT is.
We were talking about that, and we're talking about, you know, hey, the private sector isn't very good here, but
the federal government apparently is a lot worse.
Apparently so. There's just the tech skill, the security skill just you know, they've got to have people who are experts in this, but they're not allowed to do their stuff, I guess. I don't know. But apparently this is incredibly severe. And I've seen two different things about this. One is more generally, it appears they essentially leaked the entire federal employee database. Everything like social security numbers, compensation information. I guess most of that's on the schedule anyway for federal.
This is the schedule.
But like, anyways, you know, everything, all the information in the central database is apparently leaked, and everyone's pointing fingers at the Chinese.
Yep.
And so, A, that's a huge breach as it was. But then more specifically, it also appears that as part of that, they got all the records relating to the reviews people take in order to get security clearances. And so, like, okay, so everybody that's had, apparently everybody who's had a security clearance anytime in the last 30 years, 30 years is a long time, kids, potentially has all kinds of personal information about themselves leaked, as well as information from their reviews that led to their clearance. And you got to think that's somewhat sensitive information there. I mean, you know, lots of people have clearances. It's not like a highly selective thing. But, you know, you think that might actually be interesting information to Chinese spies? Who's got a clearance? Who didn't? What were the concerns when they got their clearance? You think that might be interesting? I don't know.
I guess, yeah.
You think you might want to protect that data in any way? Oh, I don't know.
I mean, I know it would be interesting, but it's just, I mean... I don't know. You know, employee data, I mean, nothing's a secret anyway anymore. I mean, what the hell?
Yeah, I hear you, but at the same time, we've said this before.
It's careless, it's stupid, they don't think it seriously.
You know, private companies have their own cost benefits to figure out, and you and I have talked before about how they're making really stupid decisions there in terms of just, I mean, they just consider it a cost of doing business. We'll buy insurance for this as opposed to fix the problem. But apparently the federal government is taking the same approach, and hey, that makes me feel wonderful.
Well, great.
You know, because people were talking about, of course, tying this all to the Snowden stuff and all those revelations. Yeah, well, don't worry. All this data is very highly guarded, and we have very tight controls over how it's being used, blah, 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 you know, whatever. Well, how tight is it? Do we really believe that at this point?
Not particularly.
There you go. Okay, my turn again. I've been doing movies and books I've finished. I'm also going to mention when I finish a TV show, not a single episode of a TV show,
but
when I've watched every episode of not even a season. If I've watched every episode of a show so I finished a show. There was a show called Erie, Indiana.
You have to be kidding me. You watched that?
I watched that because somebody had given me the DVD set as a gift like 10 years ago, and I was like, okay, I'll watch it. It came up in my rotation, whatever. It was a show that was on from 1991 to 1993. It's about a town where all kinds of weird things happen and this kid who investigates them. It was kind of a crappy show.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a couple interesting moments.
You watched all of it.
Well, it was only one season. It was like 14 episodes or something.
Okay.
And 14 half-hour episodes, or maybe 13. I forget the exact number. 12. Somewhere along those lines. And it was an early 1990s somewhat stupid show. The only interesting thing that I really saw of it is I could see how several shows that have happened after then were sort of somewhat inspired by certain bits of this. But of course, also it's a continuum. It had little bits of Twilight Zone, little bits of this, little bit, you know, whatever. It was okay. And apparently the show has a sequel series. And so maybe I'll end up watching that too.
The sequel series. So what the hell is a sequel series to Erie, Indiana? Especially since it wasn't exactly like that popular.
It's like Erie. I forget the exact name. It's like Erie, Indiana, The Next Generation or something. I don't know. No. Whatever.
Well,
it's not The Next Generation, but it's the same idea. It's an alternate dimension or something.
The alternate dimension of Star Trek, The Next Generation?
No, okay, of Erie, Indiana.
Oh, Erie, Indiana.
Anyway, unless you are really into early 90s crappy sci-fi, don't bother.
Yeah.
This is Sam here. Actually, Erie, Indiana had 19 episodes before it ended, and the sequel series was called Erie, Indiana, The Other Dimension. Okay, your turn.
Oh, boy. Well, a whole bunch of the stuff we talked about. Oh, for God's sakes.
I'm sorry. I usually send you a revised list that eliminates
McDonald's?
The stuff we talked about. McDonald's.
Yeah, it says there McDonald's.
Oh, you know, you shouldn't ask about the ones you don't already have something to say about. It was about the McDonald's declining revenue and McDonald's having trouble maintaining itself.
Well, they've been having a whole bunch of trouble for a while. I mean, I just wasn't sure. You put just the topic of McDonald's. I mean, I don't know. Look, I have a McDonald's that's actually right near my house. I never go. I'd be blunt. I mean, I just, you know, over the years, they've made the menu like so big. We've added so much stuff. The Mac Cafe, the this and that. We want to be like Starbucks. We want to be like this. We want to be like that. I mean, I don't know. It just seems like
I will eat the McFlurries and the apple pies. That's all I eat at McDonald's. That's it.
Oh, man, I haven't had one. I have not. I don't think I've ever ordered a McFlurry. I've eaten the McDonald's apple pies, but I sure as heck haven't eaten one in the 2000s. Okay, in this century, I have not eaten one. I look, the last time I went to McDonald's, I ate chicken nuggets.
Okay, and
it was in the last 12 months. I can say that I was on a highway. I was tired. I needed some food. Found a McDonald's. I was like, screw it. I'm having some nuggets. I wasn't really all that thrilled.
Okay, next. My turn again. I saw an actual Apple Watch for the first time today. Outside of the Apple Store. A couple weeks ago, I saw them in the Apple Store. I went and I actually played with one, blah, blah, blah. But today was my first day actually seeing one in person. I know you mentioned you saw a couple weeks ago.
I've seen a couple, yeah.
And the only thing...
It's all like three.
The only thing to note here is this is seeing them in the wild. I was surprised it took as long as it did. And I know these things are in somewhat short supply and they were back
ordered.
You
need to get out of the house more because, I mean, I wound up seeing... I mean, I got out of the house. I saw three. So I was like shocked. Oh,
well, you need to get out of house. My contrast is like the iPhone 6. I saw my first one in the wild within 24 hours of them being on sale. And it took a month for that.
You know, look, the watch is definitely not something that I think as of yet is still a product that's going to be as popular as a phone. I just don't think it is. Those are going to take some time to build. That's what I think.
Yeah.
So, and they'll sell many, but, you know, they're already selling more than everybody else in that market. But, you know, it's going to take a while.
Okay, your turn.
Tamir. Of course, I don't know anything about this, but what's the deal with the New Horizons probe of Pluto? What happened?
You know, you got to pick what you know.
I'm sorry, but you didn't let me, you know.
Okay, we're going to have to start picking in advance.
Okay,
even
now
for the
look,
lightning
the
round.
New Horizons. Okay, the New Horizons probe. I remember that it was supposed to. It was a probe that we had sent out, and I know that we had tried to redirect it to reach Pluto.
Its purpose was reaching Pluto. The news is it's almost there.
New Horizons. Actually, that's right. It was supposed to get there, and frickin' Pluto is. Jesus, it's so damn far. So it's almost there? Really?
It's almost there. The closest encounter is going to be in July. But it's already sending, within the last few weeks, it got to the point where it's sending better pictures of Pluto than we've ever had before from any other telescope.
Oh, that'd be awesome. The
previous best pictures of Pluto were from the Hubble Space Telescope, and it hit its first better than Hubble picture a few weeks ago. And now at this point, every day, there are new pictures being released that are a little bit better. It's still just a little dot. You can see Pluto and Pluto's moon, and they're still little dots, but they're now little tiny disks. They're just a few pixels across, But every day better than the day before. And in a few weeks we'll be at closest approach. Now what's going to happen is, the data transfer rate is way too slow to do anything in real time. So it's going to zoom past the planet, and over the course of a few days, it's going to, you know, basically load up its memory banks with as much data as it can take. And then it's going to beam that data back very slowly over months. So we'll be getting good Pluto pictures for the rest of the year, basically. And it's just for junkies of space related stuff. You know, we had the stuff on the comet a few months ago, and we're still getting good pictures from that comet, by the way. But we've now got Pluto coming up, and this will be, someone put a, Pluto, of course, got demoted from planet status to dwarf planet status. But somebody put out a graph of like all of the large bodies in the solar system. This is the last gap there that we're going to cover in a long time, potentially, because the next biggest object that we don't yet have close pictures of is very far out there, and there are no plans currently pending to send any probes or anything there. Quokar or one of those other Kuiper belt objects.
Gotcha.
Xena and Gabrielle, I don't know, one of those. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Anyway, if you're into this kind of stuff, pay attention over the next few weeks. It's going to be cool.
I know.
Frankly, it's just going to look like a rock. It's going to look like all these other things. But it's cool anyway.
It's cool. It's still our rock.
And there's, from a scientific point of view, there's all kinds of stuff we're going to learn. From my pure pictures point of view, they all kind of look like the moon. Let's be honest. But,
not all of them.
Not all of them.
Jupiter doesn't look like the moon. Saturn. I know.
I'm not talking about the planets per se, but a lot of these rocky objects. Now, each one has its unique character. I don't want to diminish that. There have been a lot of interesting stuff there. But, hey. It'll be fun. This is good stuff to watch. I'm a science junkie as well as a news junkie. Cool stuff. Okay. With that,
I think that's it.
That's it. Thank you for joining us for yet another Curmudgeon's Corner. If you're a new listener, we appreciate you joining. Please tune again next week. And like us on Facebook. We're on Facebook at Curmudgeon's Corner. We appreciate your likes. We appreciate you sharing our shows with your friends. All good stuff. You can also converse with us on Facebook about what we've said, what you think we've said that's stupid or wrong. We love to hear your feedback. We'll have that conversation with you there. If you don't like Facebook, both of us are available on Twitter. We raved about Twitter earlier and how much better it is than Facebook. I'm at Abulsme, A-B-U-L-S-M-E. Yvonne is at I-M-B-O-U, I-M-B-O-U. We love to hear from you there as well. And, if you don't like any social media, I say this every week, you can also email me directly. I'm abulsme@abulsme.com. Again, that's A-B-U-L-S-M-E. We love to hear from you. And if you did enjoy the show, please tell your friends, share around. We love new listeners. But hey, that's about it for this week. We'll be back again next week with another show of whatever's going on next week. In the meantime, everybody have a good week, and we'll talk to you next time. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.